This is Neil Whiteside. Cambridge 105
Radio. And hopefully I'm joined on the line live from Calais by Steve from the Refugee Community Kitchen. Very good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are things in Calais at the moment? Is it a sunny day like it is here in Cambridge?
No, it's grim.
Oh, really?
No, they've still got the weather over there that we've been having.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry to hear that.
It's sideways rain, minus zero temperatures. Yeah, pretty disastrous.
Which, you know, I guess it's tough enough for those of you who are working in the refugee community kitchen and working in the warehouse out there. Even worse for your customers, I'm guessing. What is the situation like at the moment out there?
Well, to be honest with you, it's actually as bad as I've seen it for a good couple of years. So at the moment, our numbers have gone right up, and we're serving anything up to 1,800 to 2,000 meals a day.
Goodness,
in
mate.
Calais and Dunkirk. This is also in conjunction with forced evictions every day for the people that we're serving food to. So every single day, we're having to adapt how we do our food service, where we do our food service.
So,
based around police action, which happens every single morning.
So let's just be clear about this. Yeah, people will remember this from the news of a couple of years ago, and they'll have heard about the jungle camp, and then there was news came through of the one at Grand Synth up at Dunkirk. Those camps, I'm right in saying, are no more, is that right? They're gone, they're disbanded.
That's right. There isn't actually any camps anymore. There's encampments. There's essentially in Calais, there's probably about 7 locations in and around Calais with different communities living in each location. And these encampments will be evicted on a regular basis. Kind of the police just go from one encampment to the next. So every day, one of them or two of them are getting evicted. And when I say evicted, I mean they'll go in. They'll range from going in and just saying, right, everybody, get up, move your tents out the way, and then an hour later they'll just leave and let them put their tents back, or they'll go in there with CS gas and, you know, slash the tents and take all the tents away. Essentially, the police have got this crazy situation where they have to prove that there is no permanent encampment. So as long as once a week someone lifts their tent up, moves it 10 foot, and then puts it back again an hour later, that's considered a non-permanent encampment. So they do that literally every single day in different places.
That sounds really tough. And from your point of view, as you say, you're trying to keep these people fed because presumably you are one of their few regular sources of a good hot meal, aren't you?
That's right, yeah. I mean, we at RCK, we really focus on the nutrition aspect of the food, not just about giving food. So we really focus on, you know, the ingredients of the food, the cultural relevance of the food. And I know a lot of people feel that's a bit of an odd thing to focus on, but, you know, we're talking about communities that are from 5 to 6 to 7, up to 10 different countries and cultures at any one time, and serving them, you know, a bowl of pasta with some tomato sauce just isn't going to really sustain them or give them any of the other elements that they need, which is hope, you know, a kind of feeling of remembering that there is something good out there, you know, and food brings all of that aspect to a person, you know. So we will feed, you know, we will feed in 2 different places. So like you mentioned, Grand Synth, which is still a place and still happens. There is still a camp there, or several. We will do different food for them than what we will do in Calais, because it's a different, completely different culture, different people there. And so every single day we're having to adapt everything. But the biggest problem at the moment is being able to distribute it on a regular basis in the same place, because, like I say, the police and the authorities are quite heavy-handed. And a lot of the guys move around a lot.
And do they take a sort of negative view towards you? Are you kind of seen as, well, you know, you're exacerbating the problem because you're trying to help? Is that
you mean the authorities?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, yes. I mean, we've had to go to court in France to get the courts to give us permission to continue doing food. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure that the authorities would have stopped us a long time ago. But they still regularly control us and ask for paperwork. And, you know, essentially what they do is it's kind of like, you know, how we used to have like the tour of Northern Ireland with the army officers and stuff. So now Calais becomes a tour for CRS police officers. And so every couple of months, they get brought in a whole new load of police officers who don't know what's going on, and then they start from scratch, and we get a lot more harassment, and we get asked for our papers all the time, which we've got, and we, you know, we're totally legit to be over there doing that. And so, yeah, it goes round and around. So we get a lot of hassle. We've actually, the local authorities have told us many, many times that we're actually the problem. We're the reason that these people are travelling thousands of miles across treacherous seas.
Yeah, you can see that, can't you? Because, I mean, whilst, you know, whilst good food is always worth a bit of a travel, I don't think people are walking from Syria just to get your, you know, with respect, to get your curries.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good curry.
I'm sure it is.
Not that good.
But just those numbers you're saying, 1,800 to 2,000 meals a day. From your point of view then, as caterers, how do you sustain that? You must have, you know, how do you get the ingredients together for things like that? Are you relying on donations, or
it's donations? We used to rely on food donations, but now we rely on financial donations, because when we first started, we would have literally vans and cars turning up every single day, 20, 30, 40 cars with bags from Tesco's and Lidl's giving us donations, which was amazing. And we would make whatever food we could based on what donations was. Yeah. But then we realized that this isn't going anywhere. This problem isn't going anywhere. This is actually not still a crisis, but it's not a crisis as in a temporary crisis. It's a permanent, it's a new reality. And so we changed our model, and we stopped asking people to bring individual tins of food, although we still get that and we still want that. We now focus mainly on buying bulk purchases. So we buy majority of our food in the UK, and we ship it out there, mainly because we can get the right food in the UK. We actually get discounts in the UK, whereas in France we don't. And we can buy the right cultural, really relevant food, and we ship it out to the UK, to France. And we buy all our fresh vegetables every week in France. We're currently buying around 4 to 5 tons of vegetables a week.
My goodness. My goodness.
To make the food. Because, like I say, we really emphasize on the nutrition and, you know, on the freshness of the food and the variety of food. And so in terms of how we rely on that, is we rely on it through donations, mostly through personal donations, but a huge chunk of our money comes from other organizations that have started around this crisis. And they are constantly giving us support, one of whom obviously is one in your very own city, which is one of our major supporters, Cancrag, who I believe are doing a sleep out again. I think their third sleep out.
They are.
This weekend. Which is amazing. I've got to say, while I'm on Cambridge Radio, I get to big up Cancrag massively. They are so supportive. And the people of Cambridge have just been amazing in supporting us, and not just us, all the agencies over there. You know, they come out on a regular basis, bring really keen, eager people that, you know, one of the things that we really don't like in Calais is voluntourism, where people come over, and really it's come over to see the crisis.
Yes.
And what we get from the Cancrag organization especially is people come over and they're like, yeah, we're not here for that. We're here to help. We'll wash up. We'll sweep the floors. You know, we'll do what needs to be done to enable you guys to carry on doing what you do.
Oh,
so, you know, that sort of help is invaluable.
Well, absolutely, to back up what you say, my colleague Phil Rowe had a guest on this morning, a lady in to talk about the work of the Cambridge University Botanic Garden. So nothing whatsoever to do with you. I just happened to mention that you were going to be, oh, she said, I've done one of those. I've been over to the warehouse. Da, da, da. So there you go. Mm. Literally, it is. It's root and branch in Cambridge, our support for the effort that's going on out there.
It's amazing. It really is. And I can't kind of bang on it about it enough, really. It's helped us become stable.
Well, that's amazing to hear. Steve, thank you very much indeed for joining us. We're going to give everybody the details now and talk about the sleep out, but I'll let you get on with your busy day, I'm guessing, out there.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining
us on
the phone. No, thanks for telling us so much about what the current situation is out there, because it puts it all in perspective when we talk about the fact that one or two people might be a bit chilly on Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you put it into perspective right there, you know, like, if you're cold on Saturday night, then, you know, just think about what's going on out there. And to be fair, in our own country, because RCK also works in the UK, we do outreach in London as well. food outreach for homeless people. And so we see all of that happening as well. So the UK is actually, you know, it's a terrible situation for the homeless over here as well now.
Indeed, indeed, Steve. Well, listen, it's good job we've got people like you out there on the front line doing it all for us. So thank you very much indeed for joining us this afternoon. Our love to very everybody welcome out there, and we'll keep in touch. Thank you, Steve.
See you soon.
Thanks. Cheers. Take care. There we are. That's Steve from the Refugee Community Kitchen out there in Calais. Now, as I say, it is the Camcrag third big sleep out. Takes place this weekend, the night of Saturday into Sunday, the 15th and 16th of February. It takes place at St Giles Church on Castle Street. The whole thing actually gets underway in the afternoon, about 1 o'clock. There is a winter fair, which will have cake, coffee, soup stalls, all that's children's activities, the chance to buy some of the ponchos for all. Look that up and see about it. There'll be a photo booth. You'll find representatives from Refugees at Home, Cambridge University Society Reaction will be there. That'll be at 1 o'clock. At 3 o'clock, the ReSound Choir will give a short concert. Then at 4 o'clock, there'll be some speeches. Rowan Williams, former Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, Professor, he's got several titles. It's always knowing which one to use. He is currently the Master of Magdalen College. He'll be speaking. Glenys Newton from Refugees at Home, a representative from Cambridge's Resettled Refugee Community, and representatives from the Cambridge Church's Homeless Project and Camcrag will all speak at 4 o'clock. There's a raffle draw at 4:40, and then at 5 o'clock, the sleepers will get together to have a communal meal before braving the elements and settling down to sleep outside. Now, if you want to get involved in any way, shape or form, maybe you'd like to support the event, or maybe you'd like to be one of the ones who'd actually like to do a sleep out, then go to camcrag.org.uk, C-A-M-C-R-A-G, camcrag.org.uk. You'll find Sleep Out 2020 on the front page there. I'm guessing it's not too late. Or you can just donate £5 by texting CAMCRAG to 70085. That's texting CAMCRAG, the word CAMCRAG, to 70085. We'll donate £5 to CAMCRAG. If you can't take part, but you'd still like to do a donation. You'll find everything on camcrag.org.uk.